This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So I'm up there doing the TED Talk.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you think is smart? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you guys think is smart?
Right.
You know, it's like you guys are the smart guys. Yeah, and they just kind of sat there. They're just like, it's like, what is this?
So what did you do?
I got out of there.
Yeah, I left last year. What up, what up?
What up? Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call show biz. I'm Hayes Davenport. I'm here with Sean Clements.
I'm Sean Clements, and we are counting down the top 10 moments of 2013.
It's always exciting to enter a new year, but we also think it's healthy to look back and look at all the great things you've accomplished in the year before. And we have.
I'll tell you the one tough thing about the new year switchover.
Uh-huh.
I'm still writing $1 billion on all my checks.
Yeah, when you write a check, you're so used to writing $1 billion.
Yeah.
But
I forgot that my rent goes up at the end of the year.
From 2013.
Yeah.
But you get the year right because you know what year it is.
Sure, of course. It's 2014 now.
It's 2014.
I know that. I see that coming from a mile away.
Right. There's a lot of fanfare surrounding it, so that's not weird to you, but you accidentally write $1 billion.
Yeah. When it's actually $2 billion. Because of the switchover.
I think I was saying that it's nice to look back on the year previously and to take some of our favorite moments from this show and to sort of do a best of 2013. Clyde on the forums actually suggested this, and we thought that might be a fun idea. That might be an interesting thing to do.
To look back at all the kooky stuff that happened in studio and the moments that really stick out to us as representative of what 2013 on Hollywood Handbook has meant.
To
America.
And so we're going to play some clips, sort of a highlight reel of the show. What can we start with? What are some of our favorite guests that we've had?
Well, I think a big one was when we finally did nail down a date that worked for us and Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she came in fresh off a Game Change. Mm-hmm. And she had she was sort of doing Palin at the beginning.
Yes.
Then she dropped out of it. And then we were all doing Tequila Slammers.
That's right.
and she got pretty loose.
I have it.
Do you have the clip?
Oh yeah, why don't we just play that? This is Julianne Moore on the show with us doing Tequila Slammers.
Oh, she's... Oh, God, Julianne, was that your 10th? Oh, God, she's passing out.
She's getting a little red.
Oh, man, she's red in the face, and she's passing out.
You okay, Julianne?
Julianne, are you okay?
You okay?
You okay?
Do you want us to call somebody? Do you want us to call Ronnie, Julianne?
She nodded. Let's call Ronnie.
Her eyes are open, but it doesn't look like she... Can you see me, Julianne?
Julianne,
how are you?
Julianne, talk to us about
Don John. Julianne?
Don John?
What was it like being on Don John? Wow, what a nice memory. She is really something else. She's a real pro.
Yeah, and I'll say this. She sobered up quick,
mm-hmm.
And one of my other favorite memories,
yes,
from Hollywood Handbook in 2013 was what happened right after
uh-huh.
the tequila shooter incident.
I actually have that as well. Do you want me to play
that?
Are
you kidding me? Yes. Oh, I'd love to hear this one.
I can cue that up. This is sort of the aftermath.
Juliet, are you going to do a backflip right now? Oh, she stuck the landing. I mean, so insane.
Only someone who's been doing it as long as she has, I think, would come into our studio and do a bunch of tequila shooters and then a backflip.
But, you know, I'm hogging the memories. Hayes, what sticks out in your mind?
Something I was really looking forward to and I think really did live up to expectations was when James Cromwell came to sit down with us. He's just LA Confidential and Babe and all these great movies, all these great roles, and he was really interesting to talk to, and I can play something from that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so this is James Cromwell when he came on the show. James, thank you so. Are you asleep? Is he asleep?
I think he's asleep. He's all James? Tuckered out from the good interview he just gave us. I don't want to bother him.
He's smiling while he sleeps.
Oh, he must be dreaming about something nice. Lullaby and good night.
Should we get him?
Have good sleepies, James Cromwell.
Should we get? He brought a blanket. Should we put that blanket on him?
Let's wrap him up in the blanket. Yeah. There you go.
Should we put his little, you know, that hat he always wears? That hat he always wears in movies. Should we put that on him?
Yeah,
his little night hat. Okay. Oh, now. Oh. Now he looks mad.
Oh.
Take the hat off. Okay, he's smiling.
That happened. Yeah, that worked. Now he's smiling. That must be his mad hat.
Should we just lock up?
Yeah, let's lock up. I'm going to leave a little note for him.
Okay. What are you writing?
Dear Jimmy, hope you're having a good sleepies. What a nice interview. Please lock the door on your way out. And give my best to Julianne.
Brett, is it okay if you're just going to hang out here?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Because I don't just want to leave him. He's...
Yeah, I'll look over him. Okay. When he wakes up, I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll walk him out.
Keep your voice down, Brett.
Okay.
That was really nice. What a fun memory. And that's just what a spontaneous show like this allows for is we don't hem our guests in and say, don't go to sleep. Don't pass out. Don't do a backflip. You know, we say, come in and do what you feel and give us the real scoop on Hollywood. And the truth is, stars fall asleep too.
Yes, that's what a lot of people don't realize. I think when they listen to a podcast and they're just talking or saying stuff about their careers, they think that, oh, they must not sleep because they're just talking all the time.
Mm.
And no one's ever been brave enough to show that before.
Do you remember, this must have been in May, when our friend Sly came in?
I do.
And ate a whole jar of honey.
I do remember that.
That was wild.
Let's play that. Oh, Sly, you seem like you're really enjoying that. Oh, wow, it's all over your hands. You still have a lot of that jar left. Are you going to finish the whole thing? You are? You have a spoon. You don't want to use that spoon. You don't. Oh, you're holding it the wrong way. Oh, now your hand is stuck inside the honey jar. Oh, Sly. I'll help you. Sly, talk about, is there anything about Grudge Match? Working with Robert De Niro, was there anything like behind the scenes that you trade tips with each other?
Uh-oh.
No?
Uh-oh. Well,
what did you do?
Pinochle.
You played P-Knuckle. And that was someone who just, like, he's been a friend of ours for a long time.
Yeah, and that's what's cool. A lot of times we get in these stars whose work we admire, yes, or who we've maybe done a project with, but we're not actually good friends with like we are with Sly.
Yes. And there was that, we always like to keep up with current trends on the show and maybe tell people what's going on this year, and we reported on some of the big stories of the year. There was that time we played the knockout game in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I have that clip. I think we can maybe play that. Do you think we should just play that one?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Brett, can you come here for 1 second?
Sure. What's going on?
Can you just come over to this side? I have a cool club I want to show you.
Okay. A club? Okay.
Yeah, just come over to this side.
So, just one big step to your left?
Yeah. Wait, Brett, how does the sound engineering board work?
Basically, there's all these knobs here, but the main one you got to worry about is just like this one.
Okay, so you can just set it like that, and we can just keep it like that, and it's fine?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, technically, I could just leave it like here for a while. And
okay. Can you just come back over to this side?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And just one big step to your left?
Oh, okay.
Just a little back to that step was a little bit too big.
Right, yeah, I should not have said big. I should have said kind of big.
Like here? Like right here?
Hi-ya!
What a great year it was to be on the show. We have a great guest today, Brian Husky. Is here. He's been in, all kinds of TV and movies. And he's going to talk about one of his latest scripts. And we're actually going to do a table read of it on the show, coming right up on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So we get backstage, and he's screaming at me. And I go, Billy, Joel, if you don't want the crowd to boo the second half of your concert, don't have me do a duet with you in the first half, you dip.
You come out in the second half.
Yeah.
It's a build.
It's a no-brainer. So we're in a fight.
He'll get it. Hey, what up, what up? Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We got a great, great guest today. Brian Husky is here. You've seen him in The Children's Hospital, the This Is the End, the Step Brothers. He does a lot of work at the UC Berkeley Theater. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight, Brian.
It is, as I've heard said before, a pleasure. So this is a pleasure.
We especially like having you because this is actually a new thing we're doing on the show. We're really throwing back the curtain on a side of the business you don't really see too often. Which is the notes process.
Yeah, and I want to thank you guys for sending over that extensive packet, sort of laying out what we're going to be doing today. It was
sure.
Like a great presentation of your idea. You put a lot of energy into it. We fast-tracked it, you know, on my side, and I'm really happy to be participating in it. So
thank you. Our guys, I thought did a good job. Our packet guys.
Yeah.
Really.
Benjamin put together a really beautiful presentation, and if there's one thing this show is not, is it's not half-assed. We don't throw it together at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of prep, and we make sure that our guests are well-prepped for what's going to happen.
Yeah. I can I ask who did the lighting for the video portion of it? Like,
was that Blenji?
No, Blenji was sick that day.
Okay.
That was Carmelica. And
I thought I saw that.
Yeah. You could definitely feel her style.
Yeah.
Because it was a
little feminine godfather kind of... You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, godmother.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's great.
So what people might not know about you, Brian, is you often function in Hollywood as sort of, they call you like a doctor movies, which is where like they'll send you a script and you'll do notes. And we've gone back and forth on this a couple of times because we've filled that role for each other.
The thing that's so important about notes is when you're in the lab plunking out your scripts, sometimes you lose sight of the fact that this whole world lives in your head.
Right.
And the person who's reading it isn't in your head.
No.
Yes.
So I had...
Yes.
I had sent...
I think Hustle and Flow, we had sent to... Well,
right.
Hustle and Bustle, when we had it originally.
Yeah, that was the original title.
And then we sent it to you.
Yeah.
And you came up with a new, because Flow was like a rap thing.
Yeah.
Because you're...
But remember the first? I mean, even notes back to me, my first was Hustle and then F-L-O.
That's
because I
right.
had that character. I was like, let's change it up a little bit and have sort of like a...
A saucy waitress.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like exactly. Like somebody that people, you know, I mean, I said like a modern day Hazel. Like,
yes.
Let's bring Hazel back into this kind of world and stuff. So we went through that iteration for
and
a while.
She got spun off into the progressive commercials, mm-hmm. which was great. That was a happy right. accident there.
And even when I was writing those, I remember that you stopped me and you said, Sean, I know you know that your backstory for this progressive woman is that she was the man who falsely confessed to the JonBenet Ramsey murders.
Mm-hmm.
But the audience doesn't necessarily know that. So don't have her look at the camera and say, shades of JBR again.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
The one thing that did, I was like, well, I have noticed that in every single scene she's in, there's a video, there's a TV showing like children's, you know, like pageants in the background.
Yes.
But I just thought that that's because that's where you guys were getting the funding from.
Right.
Like that it was sort of like product placement stuff.
I think our original name for that character was John Mark Car Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, you've got all these scripts in the pipeline you're doing.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of stuff in the works. We'd take one of our notes meetings where we do a table read of your script before we do notes and just do it here tonight. And we asked our listeners for some suggestions over which of your scripts they'd like us to read. And Toby Keith Sweat gave us a really strong one, I think, which is Teen Pope.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good. Now, did he give any kind of contact information to him as to whether if we take this idea? Because we right now, as he knows, you saying that on this podcast, he is out of this process.
Yes.
Because we're in the room when we've made this agreement to flesh this out.
Yes, that's implied. We've got all the papers right here.
Okay.
He's sitting at home in fucking Kansas or like Wisconsin
lie.
Or something. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Some fucking loser. Yeah.
like a field or something.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be such a thrill for him just to have heard Hayes say his name. I don't think he would want any financial compensation.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, right. I guess, yeah. I mean, if you, it's a piece of shit life, that this is probably like the biggest thrill for that. So congratulations to him. It's
just
awesome.
Just standing at Sears or something and playing like our podcast.
Yeah.
While
his fat, jazzy, riddled mom.
In fucking Missouri, he's going to dine out on this for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to cover up those scars of what happened to him.
Oh, and when he dines out, it's at a fucking Applebee's or some shit. And that's the truth.
Yeah. So, congratulations, Toby. This is a big moment. All right, let's see what we got.
Should we get into Teen Pope?
I think so.
Mm. Okay.
I think so.
I'll just open at the top scene. We open in a teenage bedroom where Jason Attitude is lying on his stomach on his bed. He's listening to punk music. You have a music cue here.
I hope that's what I mean.
Okay, so Jason Attitude is listening to punk music.
Okay.
He's lying on his bed. He's listening to, reading a book about girls.
Right.
And he's talking to himself as he reads the book.
Okay, cool. All right, let's see. Knock at the door.
What?
Son? There's some people from the church down here that want to talk to you.
Oh, man.
Jason spits into a spittoon.
Ting!
Skateboards down the stairs.
Whoa!
Opens the door. Standing there is a Father Silvio, a man, an old man in long robes and a bald head.
Excuse me. Are you the young man we are looking for?
I friggin' guess so.
Please, son, tell me your name.
Jason Attitude? Why? Who wants to know?
Well, from now on, you're going to be Pope Attitude.
What?
And then it says sound cue. Do we
Oh yeah, sound cue. What did you have in mind for that? It just says cool song.
Cool song, or I was thinking, I mean, right there, I personally, and this is sort of the notes thing has already started, I would just do a big bass.
Oh, okay, that's what you mean by cool song.
Yeah.
Okay, from now on, because it says that a lot in the description, from now on,
Because that is a song. I mean, a composer would write that. We would have to get a guy who would.
Well, it's an instrument, and it's playing a note. I mean, that's a song.
Well, everybody would be like, oh, you're going to get the guy who did this, all the Seinfeld stuff. It's like, no, there's a different way of doing this and for movies and TV. As far as that kind of bass sound,
let's cut to what it says in the script. Cut to interior Sistine Chapel.
Okay,
where hold Jason Attitude is
turn the pages in.
Is being given a tour of the Sistine Chapel by Father Sylvia.
Oh wait! Did you guys see this page with the chase around the fountain? 62.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you great wanna... action scene.
That is such a funny scene. All right, but dude, yeah, let's.
We'll get to that one.
We'll get to that. Okay. So, Pope Attitude, this is the Sistine Chapel.
Who are those two queerzos on the roof, man? Those guys are touching each other in their underwear. Not cool.
That is a man and the Lord himself.
Oh. Sorry.
Wait a minute. What is that painted on the Lord's crotch? Who put this big phallus upon the Lord's crotch?
Hey, man, it's scientifically accurate.
Pope Attitude, now I'm angry.
The doors to the Sistine Chapel swing open, and hundreds of Pope Attitude's teenage friends storm in. And they begin having the school dance in the Sistine Chapel.
No, that's a relic. No, don't get off of there. Do not screw up on that thing. What are you two doing, the dirty dancing?
Check out my twerking.
And then it's a I will say this about the movie. The 14th montage, I thought was maybe too many. Maybe two.
Did you feel that way? I thought
the first 12 helped the story enormously. Uh-huh. Like, it moved it along.
Well, there's so much, because first he's not good at doing a lot of the blessings, and then you quickly are able to see him start to learn how to sort of move the smoky lantern-y thing. Mm-hmm. And
is the 14th one, it's just grinding? It's like grinding at the dance? Is that the...
It's grinding at the dance. It's one of the jocks spikes the punch, and then one of the nerds takes a sip and makes a face like,
I guess my problem is all the other 12 montages told us something about this new world he was in.
Mm.
We get to see how the Pope gets dressed, how he eats his cereal, how he walks down all the hallways, you know, how he that one wretched, all the wretched people, that hilarious thing with all the wretched people coming in, and he like peeled off that one guy's skin and held it up and went, P.U. That was like so funny.
Yes.
But at the same time, so funny, but so true to that world. Like,
yes.
It really, you know.
Well, a teenager in that situation is not going to have the maturity to handle a man's skin peeling off in his hand.
No.
And it probably wouldn't smell very good. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, but again, Pope Attitude's strongest thing that the thing that moves the story is his honesty.
Yes.
He's as honest as anyone can be in that situation.
Except for all the scenes where he is lying.
Yeah.
Because he is leading. He has told his crush that he's an atheist prior to becoming the Pope to seem cool.
And then they deface that shrine where they just like destroy it.
Him in his Pope robes.
Yeah.
Should we cut to that scene where they deface the shrine?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, I'll be her. So.
Sorry, oh man, how'd I get in these clothes? I guess as a goof I put them on.
What are you doing? Hold on a second. Are you about to take this shrine and fucking fuck it up?
Oh yeah, I wasn't gonna honor it in any way. I just wanted to mess it up. Hey, come on, here, help me smear this glue stick all over it.
Hells yeah.
Father Silvio suddenly enters wearing his nightshirt.
What is going on here? I can't believe it! You're a Pope Attitude!
Yeah, pretty girl.
Who is this old guy? Let's split.
What do you mean, who is this old guy? It's me, Silvio. Why are you acting this way, Pope Attitude?
Come on, man. I'm trying to get buried in the puss.
Oh, I did not know that you had feelings for her. Okay, I will play along.
Hey, I don't know you so good, but that's okay. You guys can mess up this church. It's for everybody.
Hey, let's stab him.
So sorry I have to do this, Father Silvio.
You get that puss.
Yeah, and then I like that the blood wash to the next scene.
Yeah, what a great transition. Just a visually cool sort of Walter Mitty style storytelling technique.
A lot of times the writer doesn't make those choices, but if they put it in there, you have to sort of say like, yeah, that really does work. Because then it goes from that to him washing the blood off his hands, Pope Attitude washing the blood off his hands. And then I like that they didn't have the sex scene that they showed afterwards and stuff. She was fully naked. They said you can fully see her sweet, sweet poon.
Yeah, no, that, but it was artistically done because there's no penetration.
It's just because that would be gay, because you'd have to see wood and that would be gay.
Yeah, and so it does, it's in keeping, I think, with the church's views. And that was important to me about this script, that it's not going to offend Catholics. No. I mean, it's a fantasy about becoming the Pope and honoring Christianity by not looking at another man's wood.
Right. But, you know, whatever actress takes this part, it's got to be a brave, committed actress who's willing to spread her legs as wide as she can go and show every single bit of it, because that's exactly word for word what it says in the action line.
And that says the camera goes all the way in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a cool way to transition to the next scene, which I thought was great.
And it goes to the tennis tournament.
I'd like to talk about the final scene, the big state championship doubles match. Where the old Southern judge, who happens to also be the tennis coach, sort of pulls Pope Attitude aside.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we cut to that scene?
Yeah.
I'd love to.
I don't know if you can do this. I don't know if you've got the stuff inside of you to pull this off.
I just don't know what to do. It's like, it's such a low percentage shot for me to take a backhand down the sideline into the doubles alley when we both know that the center of the net is a full 3 inches shorter than either side, and also I'm buying myself maybe 4 feet of space by going cross court. But at the same time, that's not a clean winner. I mean, I'm just going to trap us in another rally, and this guy's lob is beautiful. He's got a ton of topspin on it, and I can't chase it down.
Kid, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you pulling it off and being a good pope for once. I don't know if you got it in you. Anyway, win the tournament.
Pope Attitude, it says here, my favorite song, Swells. So let's do that. Pope Attitude strides out onto the court and does a flip of his tennis racket.
Add in.
He bounces the ball twice on the floor of the tennis court. It says floor of the tennis court. And then does the most amazing tennis move.
I sure hope this is what would Jesus do would do.
He's doing it.
And then he cuts to Silvio.
I can't get it.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
The other guy falls down trying to get the ball. Pope Attitude wins the tournament.
Huh. Thanks, Christ.
Hey, don't thank Christ. He didn't have anything to do with it. This was all you, Attitude. You really pulled it off this time. Now I'm going to die of cancer. But I'm okay with that. Because you showed me the way.
See you in heaven, coach.
Pope Attitude's girlfriend runs over and they get married.
Hey, what's going on here? A tournament or a marriage?
The poon's gonna be even sweeter now that we're in a blessed union.
You mean Mrs. Popoon? Huh?
The screen fades to black. A title card appears that reads, Popes Should Get Married.
Again, coming back to educating us about the church and everything they have. I here's my only note about the tournament.
Mm.
There is no mention of it at any point until it's in the until we're at that scene.
Yes.
They're just at the tournament. There's no setup. I didn't know who his coach was. I didn't know he was dying of cancer.
Well, you could kind of tell from his voice, I think, that something, like, he was definitely sick. That's not a healthy man's voice. But it was distracting. And did you also, did you like, because if you liked it, I could be persuaded, mm-hmm. but that his double partner is in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I liked it in the sense of it made me react really strongly both ways, that I hated it and I liked it.
Mm.
But I think it's what I've had, you know, notes-wise, what feedback I've gotten, it's a terrible choice. So it's just, I guess it comes down to, is it a choice? Mm-hmm. If it's a terrible choice, do you stick with that choice? And then does it become a great choice?
Mm.
So
it's about choices.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I liked, that a lot of people don't know this, the bloopers that you see in the credits mm-hmm. are written in.
They're scripted.
To the script.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I thought these were some of the best bloopers I had seen. Should we go to that? Should we do that scene?
Yeah. Just run the, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's read some of
the it says the blooper song plays. Let me play that. And,
okay, so what you want to do here, this is the holy water. You pour it into the thing. Okay, hold on, I'm spilling. Oh, looks like... Hey, what's our budget for water?
It's getting all over me. Wardrobe.
So sorry.
Whoa, looks like I peed my pants.
Did you? And then, okay, here you go.
Oh, Pope Attitude, you're so beautiful. I just want to touch your face.
Wait, touch your nose by accident.
Sorry.
Ow, what the hell?
Sorry.
It looks like I peed my pants just now.
Hey, somebody say something about peeing your pants!
I don't know if I really cut out to be the poop. I mean, the Pope.
Hey, did somebody pee their pants? Kid, I think I beat my pants.
Okay, this is what's great. This is a runner. This is what's known as a bloopers runner.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you get that in Cannonball Run with mm-hmm. the hat and Dom DeLuise, and now, you know, you've got this great I peed my pants thing, which is just like...
It's like a whole nother movie.
It is. It is. And is that the intention that... Because we just read a few of them. There was another 120 pages of bloopers.
Bloopers much longer than the script, yes.
Yeah. And there were new characters. You can
feel how much fun they were having on the set.
There are new characters.
A lot of new characters.
Yeah.
And it sort of follows its own plot arc where some of the characters of the bloopers are introduced and die.
And much bigger stars in the bloopers. Like people that you could really sell a movie on. Like Robert Downey Jr. does a lot of the bloopers.
Yeah, and there's a whole thing to go to the Middle East, and it's...
Very expensive set pieces. Yeah.
But again, some choices were made, and that's just what you have to do. You have to make choices.
Where is this at in the process? Is it like through the studios?
Have you taken it out?
Yeah.
I've promised it to three studios.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you just say, you know, I've got a property. You can have it. It will make you tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
You tell that to each studio. And then you set up what's called a bidding battle. It's not a war. It's just a battle.
Yes.
Where they... start to make up numbers arbitrarily, and then in the meantime, you do not give it to any of those studios. You go overseas because
that's where the money is.
That's where all the money is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you go with like Kreuz Dutzends, in Germany, or you go to Lord Flatley.
Yes.
The Lord Flatley Production Company, which is a small one-man operation, but he is a quadrillionaire.
So yeah. From the Riverdance stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll just give you all the money. And so I don't, you know, this is a project that I don't even know if we'll make it, but I know I'll make
everyone's
a lot of money off
paid.
Of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at this point, everyone is just me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you are listed as a lot of different people, like as every crew member and things like that, and you take the salary for each individual job on the set.
Yeah.
Would it have gotten made?
No, so the interesting, what we just went through, that was myself giving notes. That was a self-session.
Sure, you were giving notes on the script you'd written sometimes because, as if you'd never seen elements of it before, which is a great way. You remove yourself from the process.
Well, that's what
point.
You're saying. When you're in the lab, you don't have that objectivity you need to the work. My only way of getting objective is to, when I'm done with it, almost go into a state of amnesia of like, I've never seen this. I don't know what this is.
Yeah. And you ask questions about it as if.
Yeah.
And you need to be told by people that this was a script that you
kind of blacked out and wrote and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sold.
And that's the best writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hemingway said.
Yes.
Write drunk, edit sober. Mm-hmm. And we take it one step further, I feel like.
Yeah.
And.
Write drunk, edit drunk.
We are drunk all the time.
Well, that's what Kerouac said. Be drunk all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't mention writing at all. It was just about...
Be drunk, do drunk.
Is drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I mean, I want to know from you guys, you know, what do you think? I mean, do you... And be as harsh as you need to be, because that's what the process is.
Well, I wanted to touch on this, too, for our listeners. The way you give a note can be very important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because let's say, for example, I thought this thing was a piece of junk. Mm-hmm. I don't. Relax.
Don't worry. If you could see his face, I know he doesn't believe that.
So you wouldn't want to say, hey, this thing stinks.
Right.
What you might want to do is go, hey, Brian. Mm-hmm. Can you speak on this a little bit? Mm-hmm. Why does this part stink so much?
Right.
And that engages the person getting the note.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were moments in the script where I wasn't sure how I felt about it. It was starting to lose me a little bit. But then when the characters, it says turn to camera and say, do you like it?
Yeah.
Like, how am I doing?
Yes.
I felt... That really humanized them, and I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so then I really did get into it more.
And it's something we've all done.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Well, what I hope to achieve with that is sort of include the viewer in the process, kind of create a movie that's a focus group at the same time, so you're getting the feedback on what's already happening, and that way... You can't lose, you know,
right.
Because you sort of, they will either say, I don't like it, but they're going to be honored the next time you ask, well, what about now? How about now? I'm trying to change this for you.
They're a part of it. It's already been made.
Yeah, they're stupid to think that we are changing.
But feel like the movie is happening based on what they said, based on their feedback.
Yeah. And again, that's just like knowing your audience, knowing how to manipulate them, and that they're not as smart as you and stuff, and that you can help them through this experience that otherwise they'd be just too stupid and just useless.
You're taking advantage of the fact
that it's stupid and thick-headed. Thank you.
Using the fact that they have never seen a movie before, don't know what it is, are scared of what they're seeing on the screen.
Or even if they have seen a movie and they think that their opinions are right, their opinions are wrong.
Yes.
Like, however, whether, unless they like the film, but otherwise their opinions are wrong. Mm-hmm. So
just because you paid, whatever, $45 or however much a movie costs, you know, some crazy number.
Yeah.
Like you think.
It's like 72.
You own it. You don't own it.
No.
One thing I loved is this movie is what I've started to call a genre hopper. And it's a couple things, because it's funny. It's a comedy. It's got romance, because he is fucking that hot girl.
Right.
And it's also got some really heavy religious and political themes.
Mm-hmm.
So it appeals to an adult crowd as well. I would say you don't have to get down in the gutter and have Frankenstein and a mummy come and breakdance in the movie.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, that's just in the bloopers. The bloopers movie.
Even all the more reason to not have it be so scary.
I
mean, it just was too scary.
You want to laugh when you're seeing the bloopers.
Well, you know
I
what?
Laugh, and in order to laugh, I need to not be peeking through my fingers.
And that, okay, and well, this is just a note to writers. You were so scared because I put in the action line, these Frankensteins and vampires are so scary. Like, in caps. And that got you, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Lowercase, I might keep reading, but when I see it in caps, I had to get my girlfriend and ultimately my mommy into the room to get the script out of there.
That's good. Okay, well, that's good, because I am about to write a horror thriller, and I know that thing is going to be pretty much all caps. All caps. Even the dialogue. So,
well, congratulations on this, Brian.
Thank you really so much.
You have that moment a lot when you're reading of the I wish I'd done it. You know?
Yeah.
So, congrats. You know.
Thank you so
good
much.
Good for you.
I did. I've done stuff this good, and I've done stuff better as well. But I did read it and go, some of these ideas I wish I had thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we know you got a lot of stuff coming up. Is there anything you'd like to plug? Any big movies?
Let's see. Well, I'll let you know that Green Fister is getting fast-tracked.
Wow.
That's gonna congratulations. Get done.
Yeah.
Finally. I loved that script.
Yeah. It's the first, like, eco-porn thing that I've worked on, you know? And I think I sort of hit that sweet spot between, again, educating and
is Cumberbatch
hardcore.
Locked in for that?
Cumberbatch is circling. We've got Cumberbatch, Merchant... Idris is thinking of doing it. Dinklage, Melissa McCarthy are all up for the lead male.
Whoa!
So
ever since I read that script, when I turn the lights out, when I leave the room, I come in my pants. I just can't help it. Like that script has really stayed with me.
It's a real cum maker of a read. Like when you read that, you're just. Just coming and coming and coming, and
milky white too, no clear stuff.
No, just full reserve.
Thick as can be, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Brian. Thanks everyone for listening. Please rate us on iTunes.
Please rate us on iTunes. Please like our Facebook page.
Chat with us on the forums about how much you like the show.
And guys, keep writing, keep producing, keep acting, keep watching. This is just a real fast thing. Find the muse, tackle her, ingest her.
And buy the pro version of our...
Please do buy the pro version. Of course, the latest person to buy the pro version via a very generous donation was Hunter Steffies.
Steffies. Yes.
Do you guys, can I step in for a second? Do you want me to say his name? Would that be a big thrill for him, for me to be saying
his name?
That's
actually what the prize is for the pro version this week.
Cool.
Brian Husky really making a meal out of your name.
Yep.
Okay. I'll pass his name over to you.
Yeah, he's passing me the script, which is the name. Okay. Hunter. Steph. 565 Hughes Road. Oh, it's in Pennsylvania. I'll give you most of the numbers of the zip code. 1940. And then the rest is a mystery.
You gotta figure out the rest, guys. And if you do, congrats.
So that should be a fun voicemail message for you, Hunter. Thanks again for listening. Thanks so much for buying the pro version. Bye.
Bye.
Muse.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.